better way to get better at football than playing football. So, like, you know.
Taylor's going to finish it!
I've always been confident in my abilities. I think, you know, I'm a guy that can go out there, and I always believe in myself that I'm going to get open and make the play if they throw me the ball.
The third. Ryan, end zone shot for Pierce. He caught it! Oh, what a play!
Wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Colts Cast, part of the Pigskin Podcast Network. We're here to talk about everything and anything Indianapolis Colts. My name is Eric Smith, co-host of the Colts Cast. Alongside me, as always, I have co-host Jamal Lawrence here.
I'd like to think if you were the co-host of the Indianapolis Colts, we would have a head coach by now.
We would definitely have a head coach by now. Yeah, but Ryan Callahan, Chase Steichen, we got some finalists. Raheem Morris, not Jeff Saturday, I hope.
I don't know. I wore my Andrew Luck jersey today just to hopefully give off some good vibes for the world, but I don't know if it's going to work because Jeff Saturday, he's still here.
Please be sure to follow us on social media. Twitter handle is at the Colts Cast, and our Instagram is at Colts Cast. Go ahead and search us up on YouTube as well. Just search the Colts Cast on there. We're the first ones that pop up. Go check out our videos. Hit that subscribe button. Let's get right into it. So we were just talking about the head coaches. What I want to do in the future is once we get our head coach, break it all down in one episode. But right now, I mean, we're going to be the last ones to fill that vacancy, which is fine. We got other content to talk about. So the 2022 NFL season is almost over, guys, but the Indianapolis Colts season has been over. A good question for us is, how did the rookies do? How did they do? Can we give a grade to each player? Is that possible? I think we can, even though we went 4-12-1. I think it's still possible. We can still evaluate the impact of every rookie for the season. Let's get right into it, Jamal. Before we get started, I'm trying to get over a sickness right now, so I sound a little clogged. Hope you guys can still understand me fairly well. We'll see. But Jamal,
whole organization sounds clogged. Let's keep it moving.
You ain't wrong about that. Jamal, I'm gonna get started with right off the top, Alec Pierce.
Ooh,
talk to him. Tell me,
Alec Pierce. Man, all right, he had a decent rookie year. 41 catches, 78 targets, 593 yards, caught two touchdowns, averaging 14.5 yards per catch, one fumble, three drops. So Alec Pierce came in as our, first pick in the draft. He was planned for it to be a quick fix for us in a wide receiver two spot. So Pierce came in and high hopes for him. Looking at the way his season started off, you know, it was looking good. I thought that they were trying to get Pierce to do some deep balls because I know that was his specialty. I know that's what he did a lot of Cincinnati. The 50-50 deep ball was where he was. And it was looking pretty good for him, you know, starting out. But I know as the season progressed, it kind of went downhill from there. There was a little less of the getting the ball to him. But Pierce overall, I mean, I think that he did, per the circumstances, he did what he could. I think that he could have been a better route runner for us, maybe been a little more nimble out there. He was definitely stiffer than I would have imagined to see out of a wide receiver. But you know, he's a rookie. They take time to develop. But I just like to think that, you know, what he did for us while he had opportunity on the field was pretty good. When I look at that 14.5 average, you know, that's pretty high. But we look at his catches, that a lot of his balls he caught were those 30, 40 yard bombs. So, I mean, it definitely makes me wonder just exactly how many short balls did he catch versus how many long balls did he catch, because that can definitely just make your numbers kind of inflated some. But I enjoyed watching Pierce play. I think he showed a lot of fight, a lot of dog in him this year when he had the opportunity to. And I think one of the things I enjoyed most about him this year was when he would get a deep ball thrown to him. If he didn't catch it or he didn't draw a PI, he didn't let it, you know, hurt him. He went back at it the next time. I think he had three drops this year, I believe it was. But the next play, the next opportunity he had, he typically tried to go up for it again. And he contested a lot of those. So I enjoyed watching him actually kind of grow throughout the year. I just think there are some things I can definitely see him focus on working on for this offseason.
Yeah, that 14 and a half yards on average per catch, that's a truly phenomenal stat.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking at that while you were talking. Pittman or Campbell didn't even come really close to that. So he was really catching those long balls. So I think that's a really good stat to bring up. I also think it's really, really tough to truly evaluate, you know, Alec Pierce at just actually any skill position. Rookies, with how the offensive line played, how our QB play was, it's very tough. But he's third on the team in receiving yards and catches. You know, clearly the wide receiver three this season. I thought Alec Pierce, like you said, showed potential as a vertical threat. As we all know, the go routes down the sideline, that's where Alec Pierce I thought was the strongest. A lot of times he would catch it for a 20-plus yard gain. A lot of times he would draw a DPI, which is basically a 20-plus yard gain. You know, if he gets even better and draws double coverage on those plays, it opens up the other side of the field. So I'm really looking forward to his development. For me, I'm going to give these rookies a grade. I would give him a B for this season. You know, didn't have an A season, didn't have an outstanding season, but for what it was worth, he gets a B for me.
No, I fully agree with that assessment. And it's funny because I saw an interview here on the local news where they did with him. And they were kind of talking about how Reggie Wayne, you know, said he hit that rookie plateau, hit that rookie wall, and it hit him hard. And one of the things that Alec Pierce mentioned that Reggie kind of advised him to do this offseason was to get into yoga. So I found that very interesting because, I mean, like I say, he did look tight on a lot of those routes he's running. And I think that working on that route tree will be, you know, beneficial to him.
Yeah, getting more fluid, getting more looser. That's just going to help him out overall. That's what I'm talking about. Reggie Wayne coaching it up, baby.
Yeah. Shout out Reggie Wayne. I was excited to hear that.
It's the little things.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Bernard Raymond.
Ooh, Bernard Raymond.
Hey, you know, you want to start or you want me to?
Go ahead.
I thought he came out, you know, out the draft. He was described as raw, developmental in the draft. He was a tight end, so transitioning to one of the most important positions on the line I feel like is a daunting task in itself. There are plenty of games where we saw Raymond struggle. I'll be the first one to say it, probably not the last one. He didn't make it out the preseason as a starter. We all know that. I see why. However, there are a few games where we saw Raymond play very well. If you watch the Dallas Cowboys game against us again, you'll see that Raymond held his own against one of the best pass rushing teams in the NFL. So there's things to like about him, and I'm excited for his next step up. But right now, I'm going to give him a C. Just, fair. You know, I mean, he had his highs, but he also had his lows. So,
oh yeah,
I'm going to give him a middle grade.
Yeah, no, I think that's 110% fair. I mean, we look at him, what, 709 snaps. He played this year, 9 penalties. We'll talk about that in a minute. Allowed 7 sacks, and he ended with a 73.3 overall grade from PFF, Pro Football Focus. Of course, you know, like you said, I don't think that the true goal was to have him inserted as a starter this season. I think the cards just kind of fell the way they did when we had Matt Pryor in there, and I'm not going to go down the Matt Pryor thing today, but we know what happened with him. We had to find a new plan, and so once that started going, you know, Raymond kind of got thrown to the wolves. We look at his first 5 starts, Eric. Those were his roughest games. 3 holding calls, 1 false start in the first 5 games. So he was just, I mean, it felt like it was just always something. Not in the first 5 games. His week 5 start in 1 game. That week 5 start is his first game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember one game where he was just, wow. Yeah. I mean, he had penalty after penalty. It was bad.
Yeah. He legit got thrown to the wolves in that one. Yeah. And so that was his very first game. So, I mean, and of course, I don't know what I would do in that situation. If I'm a 20-something-year-old kid going against your best defensive player, is typically going to be on, you know, on that left tackle. So that would scare me too. But, you know, I thought he cleaned it up. throughout some of the season. And I think that, you know, he progressed. He definitely progressed. And I think the future is looking pretty good for him. And I think it's going to benefit him getting thrown to the Wolves like this year, because now next year he knows, of course, you can't project what a defensive player is going to be like before you play them, but you can understand the tendencies. You've broken that mold now. So now you know what it's like to get in the game and actually be a factor in there. So I think it'll benefit him a lot this upcoming year, if we don't figure out somebody else at the left tackle spot during the draft.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what Chris Ballard does with those later round picks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for the draft. I love the draft. I love analyzing these prospects. But anyway, Jelani Woods.
Jay Woods.
Big Jay Woods. Take it from the top, baby.
Hey, man. You know what? So before you even break down Jay Woods, I just want to talk about for a second, because you watched the NFC Championship game, right? So we saw the 49ers out there. We saw their quarterback issues they were having. Purdy went down. Then whoever the other guy was, I can't remember. Josh Johnson, yeah. He went down. Then they were like, oh, CMC may have to play quarterback. Juszczyk might have to play quarterback. And I was just like, oh, man, what if this would have happened to Colts? Jelani, insert X quarterback.
He's our emergency quarterback.
Yeah, he's our emergency quarterback. I mean, what do you think? Would you felt comfortable in a situation like that, having to get him in there?
Absolutely. If we had the right play design for him, I don't know. It would have just been fun to watch. We know he was a high school quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, did he play any in college?
Yeah, he played quarterback in college too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Before he went to tight end. Yeah, he played. I forgot what school it was, but BC maybe? I don't know.
You know, I would think it would be fun in there. I did tweet that he would be our emergency QB
if
something like that were to happen to us.
It would have definitely been fun to see. You know, but just a quick breakdown of him, though. We look at what he did this year for us. 25 catches, 40 targets, 312 yards, 3 touchdowns, averaged 12.5. He also had 1 fumble and 3 drops, just like Pierce did. When I look at Woods, I mean, you know, I kind of grade it similarly like you did with Pierce, where there were those flashes, and I think in the right situation, it could have been better. I just think that with the cards that were dealt, it was hard to deal with the way the O-line play was, the way the quarterback play was, the inconsistencies across the board for both of those positions, because we would watch games where Jelani would get 7 targets, whether he caught all of them or not, different story, but he would get 7 targets one game, then 2 straight weeks, 2 targets if we're lucky. And then the week after that, you know, 4 or 5. So he averaged at 12.5, which is, again, another solid stat line. Of course, we saw him catch a couple big balls for us this year to get the touchdowns. Or most importantly, he got us that win against the Chiefs, you know, at the very end of the game. He balled out that game. So I like what I saw with him. That's what I like to see out of a tight end. What I am, you know, a little confused on, and I should say afraid of with that, is kind of where we stand with the blocking from him. I know that Jelani is a go-to. He should have been a bigger go-to red zone threat. The few times he made it to the red zone this year, he should have been, you know, number one target in the red zone. But we have to have a blocker out there. We have to be able to run the presence of having Jelani out there in the field, and them know that the defense know that, oh, we got a free pass on this C gap or this D gap right here. Like, we can just go through because we know who's going out for a pass. So I really want to focus on him this year, this offseason, kind of learning the block. Yeah, I'm not saying he has to go out there and be a Jack Doyle of a blocker or more.
I
would too, but I just don't see him embracing that role quite that much. You know what I mean? I gotta be real here. I don't see him embracing that role. But I think that, to realistically speak, you know, you have to be a tight end who's gonna be willing to at least press somebody. You know, I mean, we look at the Travis Kelce's and these guys, and I'm not comparing him to, I'm just saying, but Travis Kelce will get down there and throw a block if he needs to, because he knows that it's what the team needs. So as the tight end there, if you want to be that number one tight end, because there are some other people, we'll talk about Ogletree, who got hurt this year. There are some other people who were projected to be better than Woods. I think that's going to bring in an interesting conversation for us here for the future of the tight end group in Indianapolis. But I would really have liked to see Woods get some more blocking in this year. But I like what I saw for him with the passing game or the catching game.
Yeah, I think that's always been his downside as a rookie. You know, just the lack of run blocking. Like, we're going to put Kylan Granson in there. We're going to put Mo Alie-Cox in there over you just because you're not as good as a run blocker as them. And it's definitely evident this year, you know, with the loss of Jack Doyle, with the loss of some offensive linemen as well, like Glowinski and Reed. It was evident our run game wasn't the same. So if we still want to stick to that, we're going to be run first, pass later, and run behind Jonathan Taylor like we were doing in 2021, then we got to improve in that department. But, you know, his highlights, you know, I feel like that 25 catch line, that 325 yards, that should be double what it
easily,
was.
Easily.
And I think you know it. I know it. Colts Nation knows it. He just wasn't utilized enough. But every time he got a chance to shine in the passing game, he turned up. I think he's going to be a true weapon for us in the future and not just in the red zone, even though the red zone, he can be primarily our biggest threat. But for me, B+ for what he got, only 40 targets, should have been used more.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching staff failed us on that one.
Yeah. Agreed. And like you said earlier, man, I think it'll be a battle at the tight end spot for us this year. But Eric, you know, speaking of battles, we know, we got to give a quick shout out here to our sponsor, DraftKings. The stage is set and we're counting down to the battle in Arizona. There's no better way to get ready for the NFL action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 and free bets instantly. Plus, all new and exciting customers can take a shot at an even bigger payout with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Boost your Super Bowl 57 winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. You know, Eric, I didn't bet too much on football this week, but last week, or actually just 2 days ago, I showed you that parlay I did for those triple doubles. And again, I know it's basketball, but that thing hit, man. And and it was stepped up for me. So I got to give a shout out, man. Those stepped up parlays, they make a hell of a difference. You got to do them when you can. They make a huge difference.
I hear you.
But Super Bowl, you know, I got to say, as much as I'm disappointed we're not in there, I like to think that the Chiefs are going to pull it out this year. Just going to throw that out there.
That's going to be a good game. I'm so excited to watch. The line keeps moving, but you know, I might just enjoy some great football. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. But just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code TPPN. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with the code TPPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details.
So let's move on to some of the other rookies. Curtis Brooks.
Who?
F. Bust. Sixth round pick. Let's move on. I'm done.
All right. Fair enough. All right.
I'm being serious.
Well, yeah. He didn't even make the 53-man roster. He lived on the practice squad, and I think he plays for the Titans now. I believe so. So, yeah, he's no longer
Who
in the picture.
Who knows? He's not playing for the Colts ever.
Yeah.
Nick Cross. All right.
That's your boy. Yeah. Do I see a jersey back there or something? Nah, you ain't ordered it.
I'm still at a loss of words from this massive letdown of this player. Look, Nick Cross was arguably the best defensive player for the Colts in the preseason. I had high hopes for him. I know you did too.
Yes, absolutely.
I still thought Rodney McLeod would start over him, but I still had high expectations for him. Those hopes were decapitated after week two when he ceased to play another snap, essentially. This is why we have to temper expectations for someone coming out of the preseason. Because in the regular season, he didn't play well, and that's why he got benched. It's just, you know, the big boys are there to play in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Preseason, you get a lot of people just trying out, man. And I'm going to give my man a D-.
Ooh, that's fair. And I like what you said, just the trying out part. I mean, that's – you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the preseason, we just knew – you know, he would come in as a rookie starter. But the lie detector determined that was a lie. Yeah, my man, after that, after game two, he had 6 snaps total for the rest of the season. I don't know what happened. Development, maturity, something. I just know if it were me and I was in that situation and I got sidelined after the preseason I had and played the whole first game, yo, I'd have been swinging on somebody. That's, are you going to fight me for my spot, man? Like, no, I want to know from the coach, man, what I need to do. And I know as a rook, you're young, you know, he's a kid, but at the same time, you know, you're at the elite level up here now. You know what I mean? Like, not so much as the player, but you made it to NFL, the promised land. You got to come out there every day, ready to be the best you can be. So, I don't know. I agree with that D-. I mean, you could even sprinkle a little F on there if you want to be honest. But yeah.
Jamal's trying to promote violence on this podcast. Let's move on. Eric Johnson II. Defensive tackle, if you guys don't know who that is. He had a few tackles, fumble recovery, and his limited snaps. Never played over 21% of the defensive snaps in any given game. Still room to grow, just nothing spectacular at the moment. The fact that a 5th-round pick made the 53-man roster is a bright spot alone, so I'll give him a C, maybe C-. We'll see what happens with him, but he's on the roster.
Yeah, he definitely made the roster. I just felt so confident, though, with us, with our drafting. I know Ballard went so heavy on the defensive line. He just wanted, you know, really focus on that. And I just felt like some of the people we picked up, just besides our show faces, you know, the our normal starters, I didn't see a lot out of everybody else. It's kind of disappointing, but whatever.
Andrew Ogletree tore his ACL during training camp. Looked good in camp, but I can't give him a grade. He got hurt, so no grade for me. We'll see what happens this season or this upcoming season, but it wouldn't be fair.
Yeah, no, agree. It wouldn't be fair, but I'm just curious to know what's going to happen. I mean, he was super highly sought after. Of course, like we already talked about, Jelani, you know, he showed those flashes this year of what we want to see. Granson did what we asked. He was a great pass blocker, or a run blocker for us, and he caught some decent passes for us this year. Mac, of course, is the front runner at this time, but I want to know when Ogletree comes back, if they truly were that high on him. I can't imagine us trying to keep a 4-man tight end group. So what do we do? What do we do from here? Because, I mean, Jelani, I think, still has the potential to take over if he wants to. If he wants to dedicate himself to being a blocker, I think he can have a chance to take over. Does Mo Alie-Cox still stay around because he's the most vet tight end player we have? Or does Granson get a chance to stay? I don't know what's going to play out if Ogletree comes back healthy and plays up to the ability that they thought he was going to.
Yeah, I don't think we keep 4 tight ends, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what they do with that group.
Yeah.
In the offseason or maybe preseason next season. We'll see. I mean, we're definitely keeping an eye on him.
Mm-hmm.
Rodney Thomas.
Mm.
So I'm going to give it to y'all straight. We have to take value into consideration here.
Saving the best for last.
The best safety we drafted wasn't in the 3rd round. It was in the 7th round. It was in the 7th round. I said it before and I'll say it again. The proof is in the pudding that late round picks still have value. Exhibit A, Rodney Thomas II. Played a high percentage of snaps on the defensive side of the ball all season. Played a little on special teams as well. 4 interceptions. He led the Colts in interceptions. Next highest is Stephon Gilmore and Rodney McLeod at 2. And 6 pass deflections. 52 combined tackles with 34 being solo. Sign me up, baby. A+ all the way from me.
Can't agree anymore. Man, showed up and showed out for us. I mean, and sometimes, as much as I hate an injury, sometimes, man, these injuries, like to Julian Blackmon, are the small things that make a player elevate. Rodney knew he had to come in. I mean, it was his time to shine, 7th-round pick. In my mind, if I'm a 7th-round pick, what do I have to lose? I mean, like, I'm just on the squad. I'm happy I made the squad. But he said, no, this is my time. And I ate easy.
Made the most out of it, and the staff saw, and here he is.
Yep.
And last but not least, Dallas Flowers. So, Dallas Flowers, best kick returner in the NFL. Please stand up. Please stand up. Led the league with 31.1 yards per kickoff return. Whew. That's impressive. And I think he came in like probably the middle of the season when he took that role. The impact of getting better field position when our offense was inept at times is that's big in my eyes. That's big. While he has room to grow as a cornerback, I really think his special teams contribution is tremendous. I'm gonna give him a B, man. That Dallas Flowers, shout out Flowers. I'll give my flowers to Flowers.
Yeah, I agree with what you said there, man. I mean, it's the proof is in the pudding. 31 yards a return in a league where not even a lot of returns are happening. I mean, that just means you got the ball and you decided you're gonna do something with it. We need that same energy next year, next season. We got to have that same energy because hopefully with an upgraded offense, I mean, that can set us up for prime time realty like it did this year. We know we couldn't capitalize. I like what he did.
Yeah. Hopefully he can aim for like 35 yards per kickoff return.
Boy, getting two or three to the house too while we at it. Why not?
Yeah, then Matt Ryan won't have to drive down 65 yards, baby. Let's get it.
You're trying to drive down 65 and go 12. Get out of here, man.
Oh, that's all the rookies from us. You know, we had some good draft grades. We had some good players come out the draft. We had some busts, in my opinion. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good draft for the Colts. Now it's time to look towards the 2023 NFL draft.
Yeah. It is time, man. I just don't know. Ballard said that he was not focusing on the draft until we find this head coach's situation. I mean, this is the one thing Ballard didn't lie to us. He said, I don't care if it takes to mid-February. Yeah, I mean, he ain't lying. I mean, February going to be halfway done.
We ride there.
It's already a short month, yeah. So I'm ready to see what happens so we can start focusing on the draft because I think that's super important. I mean, we got a lot of work to do this year, so let's go ahead and get rolling.
Yeah, and the head coach is going to have an impact on that. So whoever we get, we are going to analyze that thing to the toes. It don't matter. Like, we gonna find out. Like, if we get blah blah blah, we gonna draft blah blah blah. We gonna make sure y'all know.
Oh yeah.
So that's gonna be it for us, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Colts Cast. We are live on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or any platform you use to listen to podcasts. We'll be back next time to give you some more Indianapolis Colts content. Y'all have a good weekend.
Oh yeah, enjoy it.